I'm Janitara Begum, and I work in Operation Unite, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC. ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, we will hear about how advocates for health insurance are lobbying the state this week for a single-payer universal health care program in New York. We'll hear from Ursula Rosum, the co-campaign director of the Campaign for New York Health, speaking with WOOC's Mark Dunley today on the WGXC Morning Show. Plus, we will hear the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service, plus music and more on the WGXC Morning Show. And it all begins after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Jazz Disturbance. A show featuring jazz and other improvisational music from local, regional, worldwide, and world-class artists, connecting listeners with the people and places presenting in the area. The Jazz Disturbance airs on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from our Hudson studio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Jazz Disturbance, 90.7 degrees, hot.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com. Or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliff, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. It is November, and just like last year, coronavirus cases are roaring back in time for the holidays. The Daily Freeman reported November 15th that the number of active coronavirus cases in Ulster County jumped 118% since November 4th. In Dutchess County, case counts are up 62% since November 1st. Sam Rawlins reports for Columbia Green Media that in Columbia County schools, COVID-19 cases have nearly tripled since October 1st. In Chatham schools, there have been 29 cases since the school year began in a district with about 950 students. Quote, the district will communicate directly with families affected by confirmed COVID-19 cases, such as close contacts to positive cases, but we will not email the entire school following each individual case, unquote, according to a district statement on the Chatham School's website. Quote, we continue to work closely with the Columbia County Department of Health and follow their guidance each time there is a positive case reported to us, unquote. Ichabod Crane Central Schools report 106 cases this school year as of November 15th. Quote, Ichabod got hit pretty hard, unquote, Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said after the school year began. Quote, that's a lot for that size school district. I think there is still that concept out there that some people just really do spread it more quickly and more readily than others, unquote. Greene County, meanwhile, announced 21 more cases November 16th. No local official in any county has taken any action or changed any COVID-19 policy to slow the spread of the disease in many months.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that an anonymous 32-year-old Rensselaer man claims someone forged his signature on the voting documents and that the absentee ballots applied for on behalf of him and his wife were fraudulent, as he has never voted in an election or applied to vote by absentee ballot. The man claims he has never met Rich Crist, the Republican operative listed on the absentee application as the person authorized to pick up the couple's ballots from the Board of Election. Crist is the county's operations director and works closely with Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin. The two ballots are currently part of 120 ballots in a court battle over an election where the Republican is leading the Democrat by just 11 votes. Incumbent Rensselaer Mayor Michael E. Stammel leads Democrat challenger Richard J. Mooney by 11 votes so far in the contested election. Crist refused to directly address the man's allegations. He said in a statement, and I quote, this is an issue we look forward to having resolved as a review of ballots for the Rensselaer City elections continue, end quote. The anonymous man said that he told state police investigating the issue that his wife's first name was misspelled on one of the election documents. The man also claims that the Republican mayor called him November 14th. The man said, and I quote, I told him me and my wife would not be talking about this matter, and his exact words were that it would be in my best interest just to say that this vote was mine and just that nothing was done wrong, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, to tell you the truth, me and my wife know nothing about this. We don't know why ballots were applied for in our name. We didn't take part in the election. It's now affecting our lives. We want nothing to do with it. We didn't vote. We don't vote. I don't like either of the candidates, end quote. Stammel said he did call the man, but claims he made no threat. Stammel said, and I quote, I said nothing about his best interest, end quote. He added, and I quote, it might have been, I said, if you did vote for me and you want your ballot counted, it would probably be best to sign this affidavit when the guys contact you, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
William J. Kemble is reporting for the Daily Freeman that the Saugerties Village Board has approved the bonding of $571,000 to cover the cost of dredging the Blue Mountain Reservoir. Bonding, approved November 15th, will have a five-year payback period. Village Water Superintendent Mike Hoff said the dredging is expected to remove approximately 18,000 cubic yards of silt and add 4 to 6 feet of depth to the reservoir. The project is scheduled to begin before the summer of 2022 and should be completed by October. Hoff said the work will go out to bid in the next month or two. The reservoir draws its water from the Plattekill Creek and has a capacity of 12 million gallons. It has not been dredged since 2008, Hoff said. Quote, silt and debris are starting to affect the intake area, unquote, and that during the last heavy storm, quote, the intake became impacted with leaves and debris, unquote, which can have an impact on the quality of the water. The village of Saugerties water system has 4,200 connections in the village and 5,500 in the town. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Bill Mahoney reports in Politico, that New York State's Joint Commission on Public Ethics on November 16th revoked the approval for Governor Andrew Cuomo to publish his 2020 memoir a year after the book was published. Now Cuomo must reapply for authorization and, if denied, the board could take the $5.1 million Cuomo was paid for being the author of American Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. Cuomo Flack, rich as a party, said, and I quote, "These JCO members are acting outside the scope of their authority and are carrying the water for the politicians who appointed them. It is the height of hypocrisy for Governor Kathy Hochul and the legislature's appointees to take this position, given that these elected officials routinely use their own staff for political and personal assistance on their own time." End quote. Cuomo resigned this summer after being accused of sexually harassing 11 women. But revoking the book approval comes after evidence emerged that state workers helped Cuomo with the book on state time. Cuomo insists they were voluntary. Read more about this story at Politico.
Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union that the state inspector general's office is investigating allegations of widespread cheating in the state's driver permit program involving a scheme to illegally obtain driving credentials for undocumented people. It is further alleged that those involved may have used the licenses to establish residency and receive unemployment benefits under the state's newly established excluded worker fund. Investigators from the Inspector General's office visited the Albany office of the State Department of Motor Vehicles in October and interviewed employees about suspected rampant cheating that took place in a licensing program enacted during the coronavirus pandemic that allowed people to take the driver's permit test online. The investigators told DMV workers they suspected people had been paying $3,000 or more to have someone take the online driver's permit test for them. We're also using fraudulent residency documents and fake mailing addresses. Spokesperson for the Inspector General's office says, "We confirm the office, quote, has an ongoing investigation into possible misuse of the DMV's driver's permit program," unquote, but declined further comment. In early October, advocates complained that too many New Yorkers were being frozen out of the program. It is unclear when the suspected fraud was detected or whether the Department of Labor is involved in the Inspector General's investigation. The agency did not respond to questions about the matter. State Senator Jessica Ramos, who was a leading sponsor of the creation of the Excluded Workers Fund, could not immediately be reached for comment. At the time the legislation passed in April, Ramos had said it would benefit about 500,000 workers who had been ineligible for unemployment assistance. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Sam Rowdens reports for Columbia Green Media that Hudson's Planning Board approved November 9th Basilica Hudson's conditional use permit to convert a residency center for artists to make and exhibit work into an art gallery. The approval only came after Planning Board members questioned if anything was changing. Planning Board member Teresa Joyner said, and I quote, "My issue is now it becomes a building of interest for weddings, parties. I mean, an art gallery can be used for a party. So are we giving you a platinum card to take this beautiful art gallery and do what you like?" End quote. But the board approved the art gallery, and project manager David Salaza said Basilica Hudson would be back before the board soon with new unidentified plans for its large performance space building. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Rizzo is reporting for News10.com that an elderly man was rescued from his Hudson residence on November 15th. After the city police received a call from the U.S. Postal Service. A postal carrier was concerned that a man on his route had not picked up his mail in more than 3 days. When the officers arrived at the residence, they knocked on all the windows and doors and got no response. The officers spoke with neighbors and learned that no one had seen the man for days. Police officers entered the house through a window and found the man lying next to the front door on the living room floor. The man was conscious but needed immediate medical attention. Police said it appeared the man was on the floor for a long time before being found. Police identified the man as 79-year-old Paul Schumann. He was transported to Albany Medical Center for emergency medical treatment. Adult Protective Services and Hudson Code Enforcement are working with police to contact Schumann's family members. Those who might have information about Schumann's next of kin are asked to contact the Hudson Police Department at 518-828-3388. Read more about this story at news10.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 48 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And on Thursday, showers are likely after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 58 degrees. And Thursday night, rain and showers are likely before 4 a.m. Then a chance of rain and snow showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Wednesday, November 17th, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Synth Eclectico show, listening to Fugue States today. Then at 11 a.m., it's time for Mayuka Fujino's show, Your Voice Touches My String, today with tracks from Bebo Valdez, Molly Drake, and Aphex Twin. Then at noon, the All Mixed Up show is subbing today for the Bedazzled Radio Hour, which has the week off. Today at noon, after the local news, we'll hear tracks from Snail Mail, Joni Mitchell, Alison Krauss, and more. Then at 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Survivor show. And this week's episode tunes in The New Adventures of Super Indian, an audio drama from Native Voices at the Autry. At 7 p.m., Off the Hook is live simulcast from WBAI in New York City from the 2600 Hacker Collective, talking about tech issues and more on the radio. Then at 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanovskaya. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County with Jeff Economy and the Snack Point Charlie Show. And at midnight, we're live from Ulster County again, the simulcast from Radio Kingston, Peter Aaron's show Go Go Kitty, on until 2 a.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Museum of Firefighting in Hudson holds a fire truck Pinewood Derby race Saturday, November 20th from 10:30 a.m. until noon. That's at the Museum of Firefighting, 1117 Harry Howard Avenue in Hudson. You can call 518-822-1875, extension 17, for more information. And also go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for this and many other local events.
Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info at wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, November 17th. Early this morning, we see 25 degrees in Halcottsville and 30 in Gayhead. That rises to 50 by 3 p.m., likely sticking to the 40s for the mountains. A bit cloudy and breezy this afternoon. Overnight, the temperature doesn't budge much, dropping to only 46 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll have a high of 62. It will usher in some rain in the afternoon, which will get stronger overnight. And overnight, temperatures will fall to the mid-30s. Friday will be dry with a high of 44. A cold Friday night will take us into the 20s. And that leads us into a Saturday with a high of 45. And so far, the weekend is looking dry. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:18 a.m., low tide at 7:39 a.m., high tide again at 1:43 p.m., and low tide again at 8:17 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 46 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:20 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:44 a.m. Looking way up, we see Earth is hanging out in a fast-moving solar wind stream. Some minor geomagnetic unrest is expected. Solar wind speed is currently 606 kilometers per second at 7.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 35. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Anna Koval of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2 May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
Thank you. Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We got the Hispanics coming on our side, African Americans coming on our side. We're taking down the Biden regime.
Former Trump White House strategist Steve Bannon spoke as he surrendered to law enforcement Monday, appearing for a hearing after being indicted by a grand jury for defying a congressional subpoena. Bannon faces two charges of contempt of Congress for failing to appear for deposition before the January 6th committee and for refusing to provide documents to the panel. Former Democratic Texas State Representative Beto O'Rourke announced he will run for governor of the Lone Star State. In a fundraising email to supporters, he touted himself as a unity candidate. Here's O'Rourke criticizing Republican lawmakers.
They're focusing on the kind of extremist policies around abortion or permitless carry or even in our schools that really only divide us.
Democratic Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy, the longest-serving active member of the U.S. Senate, announced he'll retire after 8 terms. His last expected day is January 2, 2023. At a press conference, Leahy reflected on his career, which began when he was elected to the Senate in 1974.
And within just a few months of taking office, as the newest and by far most junior member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, we were asked to vote to reauthorize and continue the war in Vietnam.
President Biden signed an executive order addressing violence against indigenous communities, particularly women. It directs the Departments of Justice, Interior, Homeland Security, and Health and Human Services to create a strategy to improve public safety and justice for Native Americans. President of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians, Shannon Hosley, spoke Monday during a White House virtual summit with tribal leaders.
Tribal sovereignty and self-governance, as well as honoring the federal trust responsibility to tribal nations, should be the cornerstone of federal Indian policy.
Biden also signed the infrastructure bill and tapped former New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu to coordinate implementation of the $1.2 trillion bipartisan legislation. Meanwhile, at the White House late Monday, President Biden met virtually with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The two leaders discussed trade, military aggression, and human rights. Finally, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, lawyers delivered closing arguments Monday in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, the teenage gunman who fatally shot 2 people and wounded a third during protests last year over police brutality. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Fantasy with order. Freedom with order. You can't do anything you like. Huh? Yeah, well, now, music is the same. Yes, fantasy, as much as you like, but with order.
We'll be right back. and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
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 listening, you're listening to 90.7
Vin, Vin.
90.7 WGXC Acre Catskills.
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 Today. East Durham.
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 Catskills.
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 Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Ursula Rosum, who is the co-director of the Campaign for New York Health, largely a single-payer proposal for healthcare, universal healthcare in New York State. And we're right in the midst of their statewide week of action from November 15th to the 21st. So Ursula, why this week of action at this point? And you know, maybe just give us a quick overview. What is New York Health?
Hi, everyone. So the New York Health Act is a bill in the state legislature that would establish the right to health care in our state by establishing a universal single-payer health care program to cover all New York State residents for all necessary medical care, regardless of our income, place of employment, or immigration status. Right now, the New York Health Act is co-sponsored by a majority of members of the State Assembly and the State Senate. This is something that we just achieved this year. And so we are having this week of action because the state legislative session resumes in January. And we want to speak with a united statewide voice calling on Democratic lawmakers to pass the bill, to pass the New York Health Act in the coming legislative session.
So I understand there's a digital day of action on, I believe, November 18th. What's that about?
So as many probably know, social media and especially Twitter are extremely powerful platforms for reaching decision makers, for getting out our stories, for letting elected officials know what we want them to do. And on Thursday, we are hosting a digital day of action where supporters of the New York Health Act are going to be tweeting and emailing and calling lawmakers. We're going to take to social media to share our stories about why universal healthcare is so important to so many people in New York. And we're very excited for this. Anyone who wants to learn more can visit the campaign website at nyhcampaign.org. And we know that this is very important that lawmakers hear from us because voters overwhelmingly, according to recent polling, are supporting the right to healthcare. A recent Data for Progress poll that was published in September showed that 81% of voters in our state support the right to health care. And then when you talk about the specific legislation, over half of voters, 60% of voters, are supporting the New York Health Act. So we really think that it's time that Democrats and the supermajority respond to this pandemic by finally passing the New York Health Act, which has majority support in both houses. So on Thursday, we really want anyone who's supporting the New York Health Act to make their voice heard on social media, on the phone, and by emailing their elected officials.
So you've mentioned that you now have a majority of the state senators and state assembly members actually formally co-sponsoring the New York Health Act. Unlike Congress, where the Democrats and Republicans are basically almost split down the middle. The Democrats in New York have an overwhelming majority, as you call it, a supermajority in both houses. So they can override even a veto, you know, by whoever's governor at the moment. So what's the holdup with the getting the Assembly and the Senate to pass? I understand the Assembly's passed it for, 4 or 5 years?
Right. The Assembly has passed the New York Health Act 4 years in a row. And it's really up to voters to ask their elected officials, what is the holdup? Why doesn't a bill that has majority support get a vote? So that's what we're going to be doing this week, is calling on Democrats to have the courage to bring the New York Health Act to a vote. We know that we are against a very powerful opposition that is working overtime to stop us from passing the New York Health Act. If you can imagine, if New York passes universal health care and we're successful here, it really threatens the profit motives of the private insurance companies across the country. So particularly private insurance companies have a huge stake in maintaining the status quo. And so they are working overtime on funding a campaign of misinformation. But we know what we've seen in the past year, we've really seen how health inequities can be really fatal when something like a pandemic happens. We've seen that particularly communities of color have been especially badly hit during this pandemic. National studies have found that 1 in 3 COVID deaths have been tied to lack of insurance, because if you can't afford healthcare, you're more likely to be sick and more susceptible to die from COVID. So we know that the New York Health Act has never been more urgently needed. And that's what we really want to do on Thursday, is make lawmakers feel how much support there is for the bill and really give them some courage to stand up to the opposition that is trying to get them to put the kibosh on universal health care.
Well, speaking of courage, you point out that pretty strong majorities of New Yorkers, you know, support this bill, you know, whatever the thing that Republicans always attack the bill is, because even though you might save $50 billion a year in overall health care costs in New York State, by combining everything into one package and running it through the government, the tax system, they get concerned that the Republicans say, oh, massive tax increase. You know, how do you, you know, sort of overcome that? How do you get the Democrats? Because, I mean, even Assemblyman McGofried, who's been the sponsor for 30 years, complained that there was, you know, some of the sponsors, let's just say when it was time to actually try to bring the bill up for a vote, they were sort of pushing the leadership. Maybe we don't actually want to go on the record on this. How do you overcome that, give them that courage?
Well, we really follow the motto of, I believe it's from the National Union of the Homeless, that you only get what you are organized to take. And so we believe that we need voters really pressing their representatives on the importance of making healthcare a right in our state and passing the bill. And we also have information that shows that it's not just about passing something that is morally just and politically popular. We also know that the New York Health Act is financially sustainable. The RAND Corporation study in 2018 showed that we would be saving at least $11 billion annually in New York on healthcare spending if we pass the New York Health Act. I should say when we pass the New York Health Act. And this is in line with several economic analyses of national Medicare for All legislation. But we know that there is a very strong misinformation campaign, because very profitable insurance companies stand to lose a lot of money when we pass universal health care. And so, like I said, the RAND Corporation found substantial savings from implementing universal health care in New York. And we hope to be publishing an updated analysis of that very soon. So we say that the New York Health Act is morally just, financially sustainable, and politically popular. And that's why Democrats really need to pass this bill in 2022.
And I know one of the things other people have raised over the year is, you know, since the Medicaid program would be rolled into New York Health, and largely, or I say not largely, but a large part of the Medicaid tax bill is paid for by the counties, which means local property taxes, which is the tax that actually hits low and moderate income people hardest. That's another sort of big saving. So in the last 60 seconds, got a new governor. You know, where does Kathy Hochul, you know, stand? And what do people who have an interest in this issue need to do right now and, you know, in the upcoming legislative session with your website?
Sure. So Anyone who wants to learn more and learn what they can do to help pass the New York Health Act, get universal health care across the finish line, should visit the Campaign for New York Health at nyhcampaign.org. We have tons of tools and educational resources there to educate your community, to contact lawmakers, and resources for doing outreach in your own networks. And with our lawmakers and with our governor, we're in a position where Governor Hochul doesn't have a position on the Health Act yet. So really, New Yorkers need to let her know, and they need to let the other candidates announcing for governor know that they want to see the next governor sign the New York Health Act into law.
Thank you, Ursula Rosum, who is the co-director of the Campaign for New York Health. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
Next, we are joined by retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I hear that we are talking to you this week about El Nino. I mean, sadly, many of us have forgotten about our high school science classes. So can you give us a refresher about what is El Nino and what is El Nino?
Okay, well, first thing, let's spell it out, because as my wife even said this, they sound very familiar. They're both Spanish words. We're talking about this winter is going to be a La Nina, L-A-N-I-N-A. That's what we're going to have this year. You might mention El Nino, which is the opposite. It's part of the oscillation, but we're going to have a La Nina this year, which means the girl, and it is when the Pacific Ocean, the central part of the Pacific Ocean, is a lot colder than normal. Basically, it's an interaction between the ocean and the atmosphere. And certain things happen with a La Nina. You actually have moisture being pushed towards the other side of the continent in the Pacific. But for us here, for a winter, the problem is it does have some correlation to our weather, but it cannot be looked at as the only thing that we can look at for determining winter. In other words, there's many other things to look at, but essentially you get a ridge in the west, a weak ridge in the west, and a trough in the Ohio Valley with a La Nina on a general basis, and then you get storms tracking up to the Ohio Valley up to over us or to our south. So we are kind of on the edge of the stormy track in the normal La Nina. Southeast, usually warm and dry. Ohio Valley, stormy and wet. So we're kind of in between, depending on the strength of the La Nina. And we were in the La Nina last winter, okay? So you remember last winter, that's what we were. But every year, La Nina acts differently because, again, we have other factors in play. But it is definitely one of the things to consider. It will draw.